The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Things this way?
We're still having fun, and it's still one.
No.
Orleans, another band. It could be named after a town, sort
could
of.
Be.
It's not the new Orleans.
Old Orleans.
Or a port.
Where is the original Orleans in France, I assume?
I don't know. Orleans?
Orleans.
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 We had Boston. Kansas.
So I don't really like this theme that we're building today here on the show, but it's one that's been building for quite some time, and that is like the What's Wrong with Baseball theme. And our buddy Conrad McGorkin posted a picture of three grumpy old men sitting at a park bench and said, they're speaking my language, and it's true. We sound like grumpy old men. Back in the day, we did this. Back in the day, we did that, and I think Boddicker owns the grumpy old man thing. We're going to have another man who said he doesn't want to sound like a grumpy old man, but doesn't like the way that baseball is being played now when Tom Glavine is on the show at 9:05. And I was looking at Twitter as well, and our buddy Mike DeCourcy. And it's funny because I hear him, you know, pushing this quite a bit when it comes to baseball. And nobody really, like, it just seems like such a non-starter that maybe it's why nobody else seems to want to keep pushing that rock uphill. But an ESPN article, an exclusive interview, Don Van Natta Jr., is that how you say his name?
Sure.
My latest for ESPN exclusive. Rob Manfred doesn't hate baseball. He wants to save it. Quote, yeah, here's the problem, Manfred told me. When you acknowledge there's something wrong with the game, that turns you into a hater of baseball. And I feel that way. You know, I feel like a lot of times when I talk about the things that I'm finding less enjoyable about baseball these days, I hear from people saying, well, you're just a hater now. You don't like the game. And I don't know. I loved baseball growing up. I loved going to Royals games growing up. I still think to myself, it'd be fun to go to a ball game. I almost never do right now. And honestly, it's because I don't feel like I have the time. For example, today, I'm leaving the show early. We've got things taped in the 9 o'clock hour that I think are going to be great interviews. You're going to want to hear them. Tom Glavine is awesome. Mm-hmm. Listen to it.
Oh, it was.
He was great.
It's fun.
I'm very pleasantly surprised at how good he was.
So you've got to go out to the K.
The Kansas Association of Broadcasters do a seminar every year where all the young sports broadcasters from the state of Kansas get together and they bring old farts like me in or you know. I think that each play-by-play guy, you know, Mitch Holtis will be there, and Brian Haney will be there, and Wyatt Thompson will be there, and they break us up into little groups where we get to talk to broadcasters, and they can come to our table and ask us, hey, how do you do soccer play-by-play? How do you do football play-by-play? Whatever. And then they do all kinds of other stuff, and part of it is associated with going to the Royals game, and if you go to this, you get a ticket to the game, and they sent me a ticket. I can't go because I have a Victory Project executive board meeting at noon. And a million family responsibilities after that, right? I'd like to go to games, but I don't look forward, like my kids don't look forward to going to baseball games the way that I did. And I don't know, part of my question is, I guess, so what Mike DeCourcy says here is, the words salary cap appear in this very long article only as a pejorative. Manfred has no clue how to save baseball. Hint, it ain't a pitch clock. And, you know, Mike DeCourcy's saying every other American sport has a salary cap. And that's one of the problems. And I do wonder, you know, we can sit here and talk about how unpopular baseball is these days. if the Royals were 20 games over 500 right now, we wouldn't be talking about that. We'd be talking about how, you know, we'd be talking about how great the Royals are, mm-hmm. and the K would be filled and everybody would be excited. So is it really that there's something wrong with baseball, or is it just, or is the problem with baseball the fact that there are too many teams like the Royals that just seem like they're not really in the running for anything?
It's just like Boddicker said, check the bottom box, all of the above. Because it is a factor. Because the Royals, listen, the Royals had a run. Their run was like 3.5, 4 years, okay? They finished over 500. They made the playoffs the next year over 500. They made the playoffs the next year over 500. They finished two games over 500, then they were 500. Call it four years. 4.5, yeah, 5 years, whatever it was, right? Yeah. That's what they had. And they maximized it because they went to two World Series and won a World Series. But then they couldn't keep these players, right? Because that's the way baseball works. They couldn't keep Eric Hosmer and Lorenzo Cain and Mike Moustakas and you know,
any of them, just name them all.
All of them. Johnny Cueto, Ben Zobrist, they were all gone.
They kept Alex Gordon, that was
They kept Alex Gordon, and then now they paid Salvador Perez. It's up to them to be better at who they pay the money to or whatever. But who knows if they would have given Eric Hosmer a contract, would he have performed better here than he has out there in California? Because the Padres have not gotten a return on their investment that they spent, okay? They haven't. If you wanted to go through and calculate, you know, whatever advanced analytic you'd like, the simple one is to say war. If you want to say how many points of war the Padres have bought for their $105 million, it ain't great, okay? And the Royals paid Hosmer about $25 to $30 million in 6 years, and they got pretty good return on investment out there. So there's something wrong with baseball, and it's been wrong, and it's not getting better because, you know, the New York Mets now are paying Max Scherzer how much money?
A lot.
$43 million a year, okay? I mean, there's no chance that the Royals have to pay a seasoned veteran. Now, he's even hurt. He's not even playing. And so they can't do that. And people say, well, of course they can, you know. They don't choose to. Well, they're also running a business, and sure, some of these guys have billions of dollars who are doing it, but you don't. The only sport I see that does that right now is this LIV thing, where they're literally pouring money into something that does not have a return right now and maybe never will. Real money. I mean, tens and hundreds of millions of dollars. The Royals aren't going to do that. If you're just going to say, yes, they should, because these people have money and they should give it to players and hope that they're good, no, I don't think that's going to happen. But if that's your thought, that's your thought. But if they had some sort of a legitimate salary cap situation, then I think the Royals would have a better chance. That's one part of baseball's issue. The other part is they're just strikeout, home run, walk. That's all it's turned into.
Pitching change, pitching change, pitching change, pitching change.
Cheating. Let's try to combat cheating by putting a little sensor on the wrist of the catcher and inside the pitcher's hat. I mean, well, that's just a bunch of mumbo jumbo, right? So the game is not as fun. And the game, so when you get a bad combination of the game is not as fun, and now, like in Oakland, you got a city who's had, they've had better baseball over 20 years than the Royals have had, right? Mm-hmm. They haven't won a World Series. They haven't gone to a World Series. But they, the A's record over the last 20 years, in comparison to the Royals, is far and away better than
what the
Royals have
done. They're competitive almost every year.
But they got a place, and they're in an area where they have a crappy stadium, and they're involved with a state and a government where they can't afford and don't have the desire to go help fund a stadium for people who own it. So they got a crappy old stadium in a crappy place, and people don't want to go watch it. So now how are the A's going to make any money if they get 3,000 people going to a game and no one's watching it on TV? You know what I mean? It's just mm-hmm. all of these things together have created this thing where I think we are going to get back into. I know there are some exceptions. Tampa made the World Series, right? But who was in the World Series last year? Atlanta. Big market that can pay some people. Now, even they couldn't pay Freddie Freeman.
Right.
So now he's off to L.A. L.A.'s been in the World Series or the final bit of the playoffs how many times in the last, like, 10 years now? Now they're back to they just have all this money. And they're doing this. And the Yankees look like world beaters now. And you know who the next best team is? It's the freaking Mets. And, you know, this may be where we're going. So you just hope and pray there's this little teams, this little engine that could, in a little group like the Royals or Tampa or whatever, hits it right. And maybe they can do it. But I don't know, man. It's looking like it's going the wrong way again.
Yeah, everything that they've done in their collective bargaining agreements the last couple times around have been bad for small market teams, not good.
Yep.
They haven't done anything to, like, make it better for small market teams to compete. Part of me wonders if they shouldn't do something like, so Major League Soccer just did this deal with Apple where they're not doing local broadcasts anymore. They're doing, you know, one broadcast for each game, and you buy the MLS package, you get all the games anywhere in the world, no blackouts, no local markets to worry about or anything. And no one really knows how that's going to work out. Is that going to be good or bad? Some people would say, well, it's bad. You just put your entire product behind a paywall, and now there's not going to be any casuals that come along to your sport. If you did that with Major League Baseball and centralized the revenue and spread that revenue out equally amongst all the teams so that the Dodgers aren't getting 50 times what the Royals are for their local TV deals, now... is there any way the owners of the Dodgers and Yankees would go for something like that?
Well, no, they wouldn't, and it's not impossible, but it'd be very hard to entangle the agreements that are already there. These are long-term agreements. I mean, the Royals have a long-term agreement now with Bally's, and they're getting this money.
They're stuck.
It would be hard to unentangle that, okay?
Yeah.
It's not saying it's impossible, but there's a price to negotiate anything.
Yeah.
They could maybe do that, but here would be the problem then. Then they would say... now they're making all this money and they're not giving it to the players. And then the players get mad. See what I mean? It's like it's all of the things together. But if they – we've been saying this for 20 years around here. If they – whatever you want to call it, socialism, communism, whatever, that's what sports are. It's not like the rest of what makes America great or whatever. You know what I mean? If you want to have a competitive league, you have to kind of have some equality. Otherwise – it doesn't work. You know, it's still working. There are still people making lots of money playing baseball, and people still go out to baseball stadiums. But it can't be as much fun to be a baseball fan in a town where you know you're not going to win as it is in an NFL town, because in an NFL town, you might just get that guy. You might get Patrick Mahomes. You might have Aaron Rodgers. You might be able to do this in a little bitty town and go make this happen and still be able to have those guys because of the way they share their money. And by nature, it's harder with baseball because there's 162 games instead of 17. The only money that's out of that in football is the preseason money and some of your suites and things like that. It's harder to do that the other way. So it's in some way an apples to oranges comparison, but it's not great. And I think it's getting worse. I mean, the Dodgers have made the playoffs, and not to say they shouldn't make the playoffs, but they've made the playoffs every year. Since 2013, is that right?
9 years.
Yeah, so they're on the stretch now. They didn't win. Okay, they didn't win the World Series every year. They've only won one, but they have made it every year since 13. They're great, but it helps when you can pay Clayton Kershaw and Zach Greinke and, you know, now Freddie Freeman. Mm-hmm. You can just go pay those guys, and if you have a really bad deal. Like, Alex Gordon was a bad deal for the Royals. Well, when you sign Alex Gordon to a bad deal for the Royals, that means you can't go sign someone else because they're paying Alex Gordon $20 million. You know what I mean? It's no big deal for the Dodgers to have – oh, well, they had some crappy deals in there, awful deals that didn't pay off for them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's –
you can outspend them.
Having a bad one is not a bad – not the end of the world for you. So it's getting – I feel like we're going to have a bit of a run like we had in the 90s, you know, when the Yankees were winning the World Series like 4 out of 5 years. That feels like we're kind of getting into that area now, because we had that really fun time in the 80s when, like, the Royals went and the Twins won and, these kind of smaller teams, they just kind of did that. And now it feels like – we're getting back to that point. And is that good or bad? I don't know. People watch the World Series last year? Did you remember it?
All right, so let me
I don't know.
Let me push back on this concept a little bit about the competitive balance thing, though, because I love I love competitive balance. I love watching leagues where you don't know who's going to win and everybody feels like a contender. And the NFL has in many ways gotten that right, but a lot of people might point out that there's not been a bigger dynasty in Major League Baseball over the past 30 years than what the New England Patriots had when they had Tom Brady and they mm-hmm. won six Super Bowls. Was it six?
Yeah.
And we're in the Super Bowl over 10 times and won the AFC East every single year, blah, blah, blah. So we're going to have this interview with Tom Glavine. I'm not give the whole thing away. He, not me, we don't have to sound the alarm here. You can sound the alarm if you want, Marco, but he, what sport did he bring up when he talked about baseball's popularity?
He brought up soccer.
And he said, I understand in today's world with our, lack of attention span that people can watch a soccer game, and even if it's low scoring, there's constant action. The ball's always in play. There's no stoppages. They're going the whole time. And if you start to understand the sport and why they're passing the ball and what they're doing, it does feel like constant action as opposed to baseball where the ball's almost never in play anymore because it's always walks and home runs. And the game already was a sport of standing around and watching two guys kind of do their thing until the ball gets put in play. And now there's pitching changes on top of that. There's just no action. And in today's society, people need something to keep their interest at all times, or they're going to look at their phone. My kids are going to look at their iPad. They're going to switch the channel. They're going to find something else. They're not going to wait around for something to happen. And the reason I think that's interesting is because I just saw an article that the FIFA saying they have already sold 1.8 million tickets for this World Cup. I don't even know how that works. They said that they plan to sell 3 million tickets to this World Cup in Qatar. Mm-hmm. So there's rich people all over the world going to fly all the way to Qatar and go to these games. 3 million of them, apparently. Which imagine how many people are going to come to the United States in 4 years from now, because they're going to have more teams, 48 teams instead of 32.
And much bigger stadiums.
And bigger stadiums that can hold more people and all that. So I don't know how many million people will be in the United States to watch those games. It's easily the most popular sport in the world, right? Now, here in America, by far, by the way, the most competitive league of any of the major leagues in professional soccer is Major League Soccer. Mm-hmm. They have a salary cap. You never know what team's going to be. The Sporting Kansas City is one of the best teams in the league, and then they get two guys injured, and they're one of the worst teams in the league this year, statistically, so far. LAFC is the best team right now in the West, and they just signed Gareth Bale and Chiellini and then Carlos Vela, all these big names. Last year, Vela was hurt. They didn't make the playoffs. It's like the NFL in that regard, where you don't know from year to year. It's going to be about who stays healthy and who can put things together. That's not even the most, Major League Soccer is below the English Premier League, the Mexican League. I mean, these other leagues in Europe where only two or three teams even have a chance to win. The English Premier League is by far the most popular sports league on the planet in any sport, hands down. I mean, the money they rake in is ridiculous. And there's only
the same five, six teams that pass it around.
So the other, however many, is it 30 teams that are in the league, I think? Is it 20?
20, and then three go down.
So 15 teams have no shot.
Yeah, they're just lap
winning
traffic.
The thing. No shot.
But the compelling part about that is you just don't want to be at the bottom.
Well, they got relegation, and then they got different spots in European competitions you can play for. So there's other things guys are playing for. So maybe that's part of the key, is make sure everybody has something to play for. I feel like the Royals ought to have to play for their draft pick. If you get to September and you're out of the playoffs, they ought to make that, like, the whole competition in September for whoever has the best September gets to get the best draft picks or something like that. Find something that everybody has something to play for, might be part of it. But I'm just wondering if it's not more a problem with the sport itself.
Well, I think it's definitely a part of it.
Than it is who's winning and who's losing.
The things are all connected.
The Patriots dynasty didn't hurt the popularity of NFL football.
No, it didn't. It didn't. And it was a dynasty, but they also didn't win every single one of them. And they had to go prove it in the playoffs. And
doing that in baseball? Who's winning every single one in baseball?
Well, no one's won every single one. That's for sure. Because I think it's harder to win in baseball.
Yeah,
in
baseball's it's too random.
The postseason,
season's too random.
If you just got to win, and you could say, well, in a seven-game series, more often than not, the better team's going to win. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah.
And there could be an upset in football, but still,
you know, you got to go beat the Patriots. You got to beat the Patriots. They lost plenty of playoff games. That was an amazing run. But, you know, we just watched the Chiefs sit there and host four AFC championship games, and they've only made two Super Bowls, and they only won one of them. So I think there is some randomness to it there. But I think people like the game of football better. It's more exciting than baseball.
There's not a game every day. You know, you wait till Sunday. You get to gear up your time and dedicate it to, I'm going to watch this game right now.
That's the thing in soccer, too, in the English Premier League. You're playing 38, right? You play 38 regular games. That's what you get. And then if you're involved in one of the Champions League things, you got a midweek game. Those are huge.
You might play 50 games total if you're involved in everything.
They honestly, man, I think baseball would be way more exciting if they played 80 games, 50 games, whatever. I talk about watching new sports or whatever, you sitting around on ESPN Plus. This last couple of months, I watched several times. I would just time a day. You get up on a Saturday and it's not on. There's nothing regular on. You watch this. The Indian Premier League in cricket, okay? They took a boring sport that could take 5 days to play, and they made it into a three-hour game because they only play 20 overs, they call them. That's an inning at six pitches. It's 120 pitches per team. That's all the game is, right? They've got a billion people in India. Okay, and they play these games. You know what they don't do? They don't play every day. I mean, the schedule, there's like eight teams in the league, and they'll end up being more as they go on. There's like eight teams in the league. They play once a week or something. Every game's an event. There's 50,000 people there. They're cheering and screaming and all this stuff, and they just got some, I can't remember how many billion-dollar streaming thing. It was a fight between the parent company of like ESPN and Paramount to try to get these streaming rights, not only in America, but more importantly, in India, where there's a billion people, mm-hmm. right? And this is their sport. You know, like American football is our sport, so we yeah. love that. English football is England's sport. You know, it makes sense there. So they found a way to play a game that looks like baseball. They could play it every day. I mean, seriously, when you bat in cricket, you could get one swing, and then you're out for the whole game. So you're not too tired. Okay, you could play 3, 4, 5 times a week. They don't need 3, 4, 5 times a week. Baseball's too long. If they really want to change the paradigm, cut the freaking season in half. But here's the problem then.
Bally's
yep. has paid $200-some million yeah. to have these games on.
Happening.
You cut the thing down. So, like you said, you'd have to maybe cut it down a little bit. Let's, you know, this year,
go back
10
to
games off and 10 games off and 10 games off. It's too much, man. It is too much. And I think it would be more exciting if there were less games in baseball because they would mean more. And the NFL's got to watch this. They've expanded it by one. They don't want to have too many football games. And you can't water your playoffs down too much by adding too many playoff games. Like, you know, when did the NHL playoffs start? April?
Yeah.
I don't know. They yeah. just finished this past week. There's probably too much playoffs. But that's where the money comes in. I don't know what the exact perfect balance is, but it feels to me like the National Football League has a pretty good balance on how important the playoffs are, how many teams make it, mm-hmm. how many regular season games they have, and the way they get to divide.
Well, it's almost a benefit for them that you can't physically play more than once a week. you
yeah,
know?
For sure.
You know, like you couldn't do the game that way, where baseball, like you said, in cricket, they've apparently been smart with it because they could play every day. Just because you could doesn't mean you should. You can play a baseball game every day. Mm-hmm. Maybe you shouldn't.
Maybe you shouldn't. You know, two games on a weekend and something during the week. I don't know, but I just or just
college play. Baseball does three a week, right? Like they have a midweek game and then three weekend games or something.
They gotta go to class. But
yeah.
Or maybe you got the freaking playoffs over by Labor Day. I don't know. I mean, maybe you just crammed it all in from May to September, you know, I don't know. Not my money. People still go. They're all making money. They're buying Major League Baseball franchises.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're
not going
more
poor
money.
On it. But there are problems with people saying it's not as much fun to watch and they're not going and whatever. In towns where they don't have a chance or towns where they're playing poorly.
Yeah.
They're not having problems selling tickets in these places that are going good. And people are out there watching it, I guess.
All right, we'll take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. right, let's squeeze some NFL talk in. I mean, look, it's just it's a little downtime. But I'll tell you what, training camp's not as far away as you might think.
No.
What do we think is going to happen with this Deshaun Watson thing?
Well, it seems like everyone thinks there's going to be a lengthy suspension possibly. I mean, and listen, the Browns look like they made a mistake by guaranteeing this big contract and all this stuff and doing it without, you know, Baker Mayfield is still under contract there. He's got a year, his fifth year option. He's there. And so now you've got a guy who you basically said you don't want. Now he's going to make $18 million or something this year, so you'll do what you're told, I guess. Although Deshaun Watson made money last year in Houston and didn't do anything. He just sat there. You know, he was not on any commissioner's exempt list or anything. He just was not going to play. It's amazing where these things have gone. But if Deshaun Watson gets suspended for a whole year and you still – Baker Mayfield has said, I don't think either one of us want to – they don't want me here. I don't want to be here. Let's figure something out. But would you say I'm just not going to play and just take your money? I don't know. We've seen a lot of that recently. John Wall just made $40 million last year with the Rockets, didn't play. Deshaun Watson got every one of his paychecks last year. And these aren't injuries like in baseball where, you know, you're just you've broken your shoulder, you've got a guaranteed contract. It's like, I'm just not doing this. I'm sorry, I'm checked out. I'm not going to do it. It boggles my mind.
It boggles my mind that the Browns made this move.
Well, it's not surprising that Cleveland did it because they mess everything up.
Yeah, right. Like, it's so perfect that it was the Browns. Because to me, like, when, and I remember when Adam Schefter tweeted out, like, you know, the fact that there weren't going to be the criminal charges. He's like, this is exactly why the Browns did what they did. They knew he was innocent. Innocent? That's different, man. Like, this dude has settled 20 lawsuits.
Mm-hmm.
Settled. Didn't fight them. Didn't win them, settled them. Now, that what does that mean? A lot of NDAs being signed. Other people who aren't suing him, putting out all these, you know. I mean, it's pretty damning evidence, the stuff this guy did. And
they have set some precedents in the National Football League in recent years about things that have happened that haven't been criminally charged. You know, they have – sometimes you end up on the commissioner's exempt list. Sometimes – like Ray Rice never played again, right?
Right.
Ray never played again. And Ray Rice
– and originally what was his suspension going to be?
Two games? Something like that. And so he's never gotten another chance, and he didn't have a criminal issue. Like, the, you know, it was, I'm not making a judgment on what he did right or wrong or whatever, but same boat. No criminal anything, right? Everyone thought Tyreek Hill was going to get some sort of suspension, and he got nothing. So you go, what is this going to go nothing? Is it going to go a year? Is it going to go more? It's a different time because where we are right now in 2022 as a society is a different place than we were in when Ray Rice had his issues. It's a different place than we were in when Tyreek Hill had issues. So I don't know. It doesn't seem to me like there's not going to be a situation where Deshaun Watson isn't out for a bit in some way. Why don't you just wait and see? The Browns are the Browns, though, man. They are something.
The game changer with Ray Rice, I said this before, there was video.
Mm-hmm.
They knew what he did, but it was when the video came out and it stunned everyone.
When the video came out and got public.
It got public. If there was video of what happened with Tyreek Hill and his child, we don't know. None of us know. We know that even though the tapes came back around to have more information than what we knew about, it is an indisputable fact that the two of them were arguing about which one of them had hit the kid.
Yeah.
You know, at one point.
Or whatever happened.
Yeah.
Whatever. If he fell down the stairs. You know,
yeah, but they had talked about
an audio talking about, but the actual video. Is there some video of anything with Deshaun Watson?
Yeah. If there was video of Deshaun Watson doing any of the things he's alleged to have done, what does that do to the case? You know? I mean, it's just like those are the things. And you know the NFL is terrified of that possibility, right? Like, they don't want to make some soft ruling, and then a video comes out that shows everybody what he's clearly apologizing for in a lot of these text messages that he sent. You know, and that's where, to me, it's like how you as a team don't wait to see this thing play out before you put so many chips in on it is just complete like malpractice, in my opinion.
What was the rush? Was there a big? Was there eight other teams looking to get Deshaun Watson to be a part of their team? Were you bidding against yourself in the trade? And couldn't you have made the trade smartly? I think the smartest thing would have done, if you really wanted the guy to be on your team, you think it's all going to work out, because they did this exhaustive research without ever talking to anyone who was alleged in any lawsuit. Very exhaustive. you make the trade, and then you say, here's the contract we'd like you to sign. We're not signing this contract until we get resolution. Deshaun Watson is going to not agree to that. I think he would have agreed to that. Now, he likes it this way because he's already gotten 40-some million dollars of a signing bonus, right? That's guaranteed stuff. And he's got a huge amount of this contract is guaranteed. So the Browns, I can't imagine what talk radio has been like in Cleveland with this thing.
I mean, what do you think he's going to get?
I think he's going to get at least half a year. And that's probably worse than a whole year when you're trying to have football happen. Because then what do you do? I mean, seriously. And there's nowhere to really – no one really needs Baker Mayfield right now either. So how can you get rid of Baker Mayfield? So now is Baker Mayfield me as a pro, I would go in there and try my best and go prove myself for however long I get and then make myself valuable to some other team. But after you've gone through emotionally what you've just gone through with this organization, now you've just made like 30-some million dollars from the Browns. Okay, yeah. That's great. But
if they
also
come back hat in hand going, oh, could you be our quarterback? You'd be like, no.
I don't know.
I'm good.
They made you the number one pick. You had four head coaches in the first however many years of your existence there. You actually won a playoff game. You made the playoffs and won a playoff game and almost won a playoff game at Arrowhead Stadium. Yes, Patrick Mahomes got hurt, whatever, but and almost winning's not a big thing. But that's what go back and look how many times Cleveland had won a playoff game, not just since right before Baker Mayfield got there, but for decades before that, okay? So he took them to as high a point as they've been in decades. And it wasn't very good last year. So they go, you know, there's lots of circumstances there because they have, you know, Baker wasn't as good as he should be. Their injuries, this, that, the defense, you know, all kinds of things. But that's what comes along with being a quarterback, right? You get the blame. So they're at this exact crossroads where you're like, well, do we give him a contract? Like, look at every contract a quarterback's gotten in the last whatever. They're all big. Are you investing in Baker or not? So then we're not going to invest in Baker. Let's go find somebody else. Would you have rather had Deshaun Watson on your team or Russell Wilson be the leader of your team?
Russell Wilson.
Okay, well, why didn't they go try to do that instead? There were quarterbacks on the move, right? There were other people who you could trade with and trade to and do something. There was just such a monstrous unknown with Deshaun Watson. I'm like... And he, you know, listen, Deshaun Watson did some nice things for the Texans. They won a playoff game, right? They were up 28 points at Kansas City. But you know what they also did under Deshaun Watson? They won four games the next year. And then he didn't even play because of all these things were going on. I just, there are certain things I would just stay away from certain people. And I think Deshaun Watson from 2020 to 2023 would be someone who's like, I don't know. I think I'll go somewhere else right now. I think I'll try something else because it's not worth it. But the Browns were the team that said, okay, let's give it a shot.
So the hearing continues for Deshaun Watson right now. It starts again today. From Rob Mahdi of the Associated Press, I'm also told that the NFL – despite insisting on indefinite suspension, wants to avoid the appeals process. Sources said a terrible situation for everyone involved. They just don't want this thing to keep dragging out and going to court. So the league is more likely to abide by Sue Robinson's ruling if she came back with 6 to 8 games. So they're like saying, hey, we'd like to see him suspended longer, but if you're willing to give him 6 to 8 games, we won't really complain too much about it. So the NFL is leaking this out, if they if this report is really true. I don't know. This thing is one of those things you feel like could absolutely go. If you got nothing, it wouldn't stun you. If you got a year, it wouldn't stun you. And if it's somewhere in the middle, it wouldn't stun you. So it's just, we'll have to wait and see what happens. We'll take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Detroit. Sporting Kansas City will be at home. They play on Sunday night at 7 o'clock against the New York Red Bulls. And for Sporting right now, they are they're in a tough spot. They need to get up to seventh place if they want to make the playoffs. They're not quite at the halfway point of the season, but they're close. And they are in 13th place out of 14 teams in the Western Conference. So let's hear from Peter Vermees. He spoke yesterday about where the team's situation is if they want to try to make a push to the playoffs.
Again, I think you know, each game is important because the points are important. I think it was good to get the points on the road the other day. I think we missed points in the New England game at home, unfortunately, going down a man. So we're gonna have to make those points up somewhere to keep trying to climb. And that it's really truly about, I think it's more about one half at a time for us, and that's how we have to go about each week. And then obviously we have the other competition because we have a big game in the semifinal against Sacramento, and that's going to be a big game for us, and that's going to be a tough game because it's amongst all the other games that we are playing.
Okay, so Peter Vermees basically pointing out that this team, they got to get points, they got to win games. This is a tough one coming up against the New York Red Bulls team that are in fourth place in the Eastern Conference. They're a good team, so it's going to be a difficult game. And Sporting are bringing in some reinforcements in the summer. There's a winter transfer window in soccer, and there's a summer transfer window. And Peter Vermees usually likes to bring guys in during the winter transfer window so that they can come in and have a full preseason with the team, learn the system, learn how they're going to play with this team. And they don't have that luxury right now because they got so many guys injured. Their two most highly paid players have been injured for the whole year. So they're bringing in these two guys, Eric Tommy, who's a midfielder from Germany, and William Agata, who is a forward from Nigeria. And they should be arriving anytime here in the next couple of weeks. We're not exactly sure when because they got to get their visas cleared and all of those things. And Peter Vermees was asked what that transition will be like for these guys as they try to hit the ground in the middle of the season to help the team.
Yeah, all of it's going to have to do with whether or not, you know, where their fitness is. That it's evaluating where their fitness is. We're trying to get them to do as much as they can where they are right now, but it's always hard when you're not with a team. And then the other thing, too, is that maybe Agata more than Eric, and Eric isn't used to playing in this kind of weather on a regular basis. A guy in Israel can get pretty hot there in their season. So it's a little bit different, but those guys have a lot of work to do. They got to come in here somewhat fit for them to be able to, you know, participate right away.
Yeah, it's constant with Sporting. You know, listen, Vinny Pasquantino came up with the Royals, but he was someone they had, okay? When you get through this part of the season, they look globally. How can we find someone who can come help this team? And this has happened a bunch of times with them. It's an amazing deal. It's amazing work that they do to try to find these guys. But then they're going to come in here, and soccer, right? You're going to go try to play, but you got to figure out exactly how to play with this team and do what you're supposed to do. They got to keep, and they're not going to just rest and say, well, okay, fine, we're not doing all that great this year. Let's just play the string out. They're gonna go and try to get it done. So we'll see. Hopefully they can get some help. This has been pretty poor timing for them with the injury stuff. You know, they made the big signing, for Pulido, and when he's healthy, he's great. But
he hasn't been healthy very much since they got him.
Hey, he hasn't, and that's the danger. You know, we talk about salary caps and all that kind of stuff. That's the danger when you're Sporting. You don't have some of the money sitting around for your designated players that you have on some of these, you know, New York and L.A. and stuff like that. And it was a big deal, and you wished it worked out perfectly. So far, it hasn't worked out for him to be healthy all the time. It's a really tough deal to be. They've lost this year their people who put the ball in the net, who they expect to put the ball in the net, you know, a big portion of it. And that's what the game's about, you know what I mean? So it's been tough for them, but they're going to keep fighting, trying.
Big game coming up on Sunday, 7 o'clock, right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB on 38 The Spot and on the Sporting KC app. All right, we got some big interviews coming up for you in the next hour. We're going to hear from Tom Glavine, who will be participating in the American Century Classic. Of course, we'll have live broadcasts from there all of next week as well. But you're going to hear Tom Glavine. He's going to talk about the Royals' attempt to develop young pitchers the way that this same front office was a part of when they had that staff in Atlanta that was one of the all-time greats. You'll hear about his thoughts on the way the game is evolving when it comes to pitching and other things. And we'll also take a shot at Mike Boddicker, you know, in that. We'll so that you hear that as well. And
we'll talk a little golf because he is going to be at the American Century Championships in Lake Tahoe. That's where Steven and Seren will be next week as well. They're not playing golf. Tom Glavine is a much better player and more of a celebrity, honestly, than those two guys are. But we'll talk about that. That's a fun event in Tahoe. A lot of great golf gets played. It's a beautiful setting, and it's a good chance to go out there and have a lot of fun. These guys love to compete. He's 55, 56 years old, and they still love to compete. That's what these events are like for him. It's not just going out there and having fun. They want to go out there and try to win, because when you're a Hall of Famer, you competed your whole life at things. And this celebrity golf stuff gives these guys a chance to still do that.
Yeah, 50,000 people they can compete in front of. All right, that's all straight ahead right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.